In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The Word is Jesus. I was reflecting upon the question a number of weeks ago, what is Christmas? And I have to wonder, do we really truly understand Christmas, the significance of it, what it means at its core? I'm convinced that focusing on and engaging Advent well helps to prepare our hearts for the true meaning of Christmas. Celebrating Advent reminds us that we are poor and imperfect, and yet in our imperfection, we can cling to something far greater: love. Today's Christmas Eve, and we get to prepare ourselves to remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. He is the greatest example of love that the world has ever known, that the world ever will know. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, the greatest, is love. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. We've been journeying through 1 Corinthians 13 over the course of this past month because we've been committed here at Alliance Church to engaging Advent well. Throughout our Advent series, we looked at and answered the question, what is love? And what we experienced and discovered throughout our time together in 1 Corinthians 13 is that God just doesn't love. God is actually love itself. It's a beautiful truth. And it is out of that love, the person of God himself, that we are given the incredible gift of Jesus Christ. Take a look at John 1. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John 1:14 shows us that God's love, it's not passive. It is incredibly active. God just doesn't sit on the sidelines. No, he commits to doing something with his love. And it is because of who God is as love that God gave. And oh, does he continue to give? Why does he do it? Because of sin. Because the weight of sin is so much more than we can endure or handle on our own. Nothing you or I do is unable to pay the debt that we have that is sin. John 3:16, this famous passage, shows God's love, his actionable love. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ, who is the purest expression of love that the world has ever known, that the world will ever know, he teaches us that love never gives up, even unto death. Love came down at Christmas. God himself took on human form to pay for our debt of sin with the life of his Son. It's miraculous. And today, we celebrate on Christmas Eve that sacrifice, God's sacrificial love. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The Son of God was born for us in order to die for us. That's the truth of Christmas. And it's because of love that we can have faith. It's because of love that we can have hope. It's because of love that we can be forgiven. Friends, the sin debt that Jesus paid for us is bigger than we can possibly ever imagine. Its scale is cosmic. Nothing that we have in all of human history can measure the depth of the forgiveness that was the cross, that was Jesus Christ. Because that cost, it was the Son of God. It doesn't get any bigger than that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. My son Asher is 4 years old, and a few weeks back we were talking about Christmas at the breakfast table, and we were just talking about the Christmas story, and we were talking about Jesus, and we were talking about how Jesus came down, and we got on the topic of forgiveness, and my son, in his, you know, toddler-esque way, looks at me and he goes, Dad, what is forgiven? Do you know that toddlers are uniquely designed by God to stump pastors? I'm just telling you that right now. You know, I genuinely struggle to answer this question. Now, don't get me wrong. I know all about forgiveness. I can give you example after example after example of forgiveness. But in that moment, I faltered. I struggled to come up with a dictionary definition of forgiveness. So Asher and I went to the Bible, and we started looking at the countless examples of forgiveness that we see pictured throughout the scriptures. And we found that the Bible doesn't actually give a dictionary definition of forgiveness. And at that point, I'm like, whoo-hoo, whew, that's a good thing, because boy, in my position, that's a pretty elementary answer that I should know. So I felt really vindicated at that point, that I wasn't able to give him a dictionary definition off the top of my head. But if I had to come up with one, if I had to come up with what a dictionary definition is, it's the restoration of relationship that involves the removal of objective guilt. And I get it, that's a mouthful. Okay, but what it really means, what we can boil it down to, is that you are no longer at fault or on the hook for guilt as a result of any of your wrongdoing. Amen to that. Thanks, Pete. The slate is wiped clean, made as white as snow. But here's the thing about forgiveness. It doesn't necessarily remove the cost, if there is one. Let me put it this way. Suppose a guy steals his friend's car, drives it, wrecks it, feels bad about it, and he goes and he approaches his friend and he says, "Man, I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me?" His friend loves his buddy and he says, "Absolutely, yes, I forgive you." That's a picture of forgiveness, but there's still a cost that needs to be paid. Someone has to buy a new car. The car is still wrecked. The forgiveness that God offers through Jesus Christ has to pay a debt that is cosmic in nature. And what I mean by that is that it involves the sins and evils and moral brokenness and the shame and guilt of every human being throughout the entirety of human history. For God to simply snap his fingers and say, "I forgive you," it wouldn't show us the scope of the incredible gift that is the love of Jesus Christ. That was his sacrifice. God created us to be with him. He gave us every good and perfect gift. That which he deemed good was ours, and we chose to reject him, and we still reject him today continuously. We try to do too many things on our own. We put him on the sidelines in our lives. Truth is, every one of us is born sinful, condemned, apart from God. That's a biblical truth. It stems from Romans chapter 3, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There are no exceptions. Apart from Jesus Christ, each and every one of us stands condemned. You know, the Bible uses an illustration that I really like. It's from Romans 6, and in it, we are pictured as employees. And as employees, we receive a wage. We have earnings. We have payment that we get as we go through this life in sin. And what it comes out to is that at the end of our life, the wages that we have earned for our life lived in sin, it results in death. And there's no getting around that. We can't change the currency on our own. We can't change the payment. Nothing we do is righteous enough. Take a look at Proverbs 14. We can't do it on our own. There's a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. So God did it for us. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, because let's face it, if we really truly look in the mirror, we're not very righteous at all. But because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Friends, God in his love provided Jesus Christ. And the Bible is clear that it is only through Jesus' death and his resurrection from the dead that we can be saved. Our sin is covered by the blood of Christ. The Son of God was born for us in order to die for us. It was Jesus himself who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." And it's God himself who tells us how we can experience this forgiveness that we just talked about moments ago. In Romans 10, he says to us, "If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, for your sin, and was raised from the dead, you will be saved." It's that simple. And God promises us that it actually does work this way. 1 John 5, it's an incredibly encouraging passage for those of us who are in Christ. Whoever has the Son has life. But for those who have never accepted the grace and mercy that Jesus Christ offers, without God's Son, we don't have life. Jesus was born for us in order to die for us. That is love. That is what we celebrate here in the Christmas season. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift the world has ever known. You know, we began this service talking about Advent. It's a season of anticipation of the arrival of Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once described Advent as a prison cell. He calls it a prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside. It has to be opened from the outside. So we remain stuck in our prison cell of sin, always searching for a way out of our cell, hoping for, waiting upon, and completely dependent upon the reality that that door can only be opened from the outside. We cannot do it on our own. We've lit 4 candles together today already. Hope, preparation, joy, and love. And there's a 5th candle over here that remains unlit. That is the Christ candle. And its color is white. It stands for purity, light, and victory. Jesus is pure. Jesus is light. Jesus is victory. He is without sin. He was born for us in order to die for us. And his blood and his sacrifice make our sins as white as snow. He is the light in the darkness, the victor over sin and death. We have life because of him. It was Christ himself who said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And it was Jesus Christ who put that into action and laid down his life for each one of us. It is Jesus who holds the keys to death and the grave. Jesus who is salvation itself. He is our hope. He is our salvation. And at Christmas time, we celebrate this reality of who Christ is, of what he's done. And this is it right here in Isaiah 1. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. It's a beautiful reality that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, I didn't tell you how I explained this concept of forgiveness to my son. So there we were, going through the Bible, and he has this dry erase board that he has at home. And I took a marker, a red marker, and I started to write down the things that he was telling me that he has done that's bad, the things that I had done that was bad. The sin that we have in our lives. And we started writing these things down, and we made this board all super messy because, let's face it, our lives are really messy apart from Christ. And as we were going through, we talked about this passage here in Isaiah chapter 1 on about how our sins are made as white as snow. And so we took an eraser to symbolize this gift that Christ gives us, and we wiped the slate clean. Our sin is made as white as snow through the blood, through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you arrived today, you were given a key. That key symbolizes Jesus Christ. You see, some of us have already accepted the forgiveness that the death and resurrection of Jesus offers to us. Our prison cell, the doors, they have been blown right off their hinges. And we live in the grace and truth and mercy of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are walking humbly and submissively in light of the truth of his nature, not our own. And that's not to say that we're perfect. No one's perfect. I'm not trying to say that at all. But we recognize our intense need for Jesus as our Savior. And we humbly and submissively walk in step with him each and every day. If that's you today, I'd like you to take your key when service ends today. And there's 2 tables that are set up on the outside, and I'd like you to drop it into the leftmost bowl. They're labeled, if you forget which one you're supposed to do. There's 2 more that are coming up here. I'd like you to take that key, and I'd like you to drop it into the leftmost bowl. But some of us who are engaging today, we've accepted Christ at some point in the past, but maybe we find ourselves back in this prison cell. Maybe we find ourselves shackled to things in our life. Maybe they're sinful habits, poor choices, whatever it is. Maybe we've put God on the sidelines, and even though the door is wide open still, we don't have the strength to stand up and walk out on our own. Well, here's the thing. Even if the door is wide open, none of us can actually stand up and walk out of our prison cell on our own. Christ has to carry us. He has to. That is the only way. Nothing that we do or say will ever be good enough. It has to be Jesus Christ. And if you've committed your life to Christ at some point in the past, you have God's Holy Spirit living within you. Maybe you're quenching it. Maybe you've made bad choices, poor choices. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something that's holding you back right now. Maybe in your life, it's a place of pride or a stronghold of sin. I don't know, but I'd ask you to commit today, right now, to stepping into the grace and truth and mercy of a transforming work of Christ Jesus, to surrender whatever it is that is holding you back from living with him. Maybe that means you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Maybe that means you need to surrender something specifically. My prayer right now is that God's Holy Spirit puts upon your heart and my heart those things that are not of him in our lives. And that we would be willing to take that step of faith and say, God, you are bigger than whatever it is in my life that is holding me back from truly living in the victory that you offer. And if that's you today, I'd ask that on the way out, you take this key and you drop it into the middle bowl. Some of us, we've never asked Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Our prison cell, it remains firmly shut. And maybe this is all new to you. Maybe you have questions, you who are here in person or you engaging with us online. But here's the thing. I have some answers for you, sure. But at the end of the day, it comes down to faith. It comes down to faith. This relationship with Jesus, it's all about faith. And at some point, I can promise you, that door will open for you. But it has to be someone else who opens it from the outside. And that someone is Jesus Christ. So if you want the freedom that he offers, you have to ask him for it. You have to surrender your life to him. And why not now? Why not today? Why not here, this Christmas season in 2020, when the world is tumultuous and crazy and all of these different things are going on and everything seems so like it's spiraling out of control? Why not? Why not take a chance on Jesus? Because he's proven himself trustworthy. And like Ryan said before, we don't say those things just because we work in a church. We say those things because that has been the reality and the experience that we have walking in step with Jesus Christ. If you want the freedom that Jesus offers and you want to become a part of God's family, you can choose to pray with me right now. And here's the thing. This isn't some magic formula that you say. Okay, God's not concerned with long, flowery, winded type prayers, all right? He wants the real, raw brokenness that is our hearts. He wants who we are at our core. He doesn't want us to put up a facade or to wear a mask. God wants us, our shinies, our uglies, everything. Jesus Christ wants you. And if you've never taken that step, if you've never committed your life to Christ right now, I'd ask that you just bow your heads and you pray with me. And maybe this is a time that you need to engage in talking with God about those things in your life that you know that you're not living in victory through. And I'd ask that you take this moment as well. If you're one of those middle key holders right now, that middle bowl, this is your opportunity right now to say yes to the transforming power of God's Holy Spirit in your life and to give over whatever stronghold or whatever is holding you back from walking in step humbly with Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, God, we thank you for your forgiveness, God. We pray for you, Christ, to come into our lives, to come into our hearts, Lord. We pray right now, Jesus, that we would be set free. We recognize, Lord, that it was you, your death on the cross, that can do this for us. We recognize that you were raised from life. You were raised back to life, Jesus. And we give our whole hearts to you, Lord. We give and surrender our entire lives to you, to your lordship, Lord. And we ask that you would help us to walk in a way that is pleasing to you, Jesus. We give all of us to you, Lord, as you've given everything for us, Father. We surrender ourselves to you, to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. this is the first time you've ever prayed something like that, I want you to know that we want to come alongside you and walk with you. You see, the cool thing about God is that he designed everything to work in a really phenomenal way, okay? He's given us this collection of humans on this earth that are part of this, of his church, his body, and he doesn't want us to do life alone. He wants us to do life in community with one another. That's important. And if that's the first time that you've made that commitment, I'd ask that you take that key and you drop it in the rightmost bowl on your way out this afternoon. If you're following along with us online, we'd also love to hear from you. You can either contact our church office via email. You can comment on the video that you're watching right now. We'd love to be able to connect with you. You are not alone. Nobody is alone. Jesus Christ is so much greater than the darkness that we have in our lives. You know, 2020 has opened up new avenues of communication, new avenues of connection. And whether you're here physically or not, that doesn't matter to us. God loves you and we love you and we want to come alongside you and we want to walk with you through whatever it is that you are enduring here on this earth. We love you and we're grateful that you're here with us today on Christmas Eve. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. My hope that your takeaway from today, our time together, is the truth that love is the greatest. And in the future, if you're ever asked how to sum up love, you can do it in two words. Jesus Christ, the greatest. Please pray with me, Lord. I pray right now for hearts that have surrendered to you, Lord. We lift up praise to you, Jesus. We lift up praise for your grace. We lift up praise for your mercy, Lord. I pray that we would have open hands and open hearts, Lord, that we would be able to continue to celebrate your victory. Jesus, we long to be with you. We long for your return, Lord. Thank you that we can celebrate what you have done and look forward with great joy and anticipation to what you continue to do and will do in the future when you bring your kingdom. Kingdom that will never end. Thank you, Jesus, for Christmas.